This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Political reporter for the Charlottesville Daily Progress, Bob Gibson, joins us every Monday afternoon to talk politics, local, state, and national. Good afternoon, Bob.
Good afternoon. Great to join you on a beautiful Monday.
Yeah, it is great, isn't it? It's absolutely beautiful. Bob, you had an article recently called Let's Talk Merger for Now, and it was actually a commentary in the Daily Progress, your take on this merger talk. Catch us up to speed here before you share the nuts and bolts of the commentary. Are we talking merger again, Charlottesville and Albemarle County? It seems like we left that behind. There was all that reversion talk.
Well, reversion was a separate thing, really. This was something that the city and county agreed to do when they agreed on a revenue sharing agreement in lieu of annexation. And they did that, and the county started paying money, tax money, to the city every year based on a complex formula, basically having to do with how much retail there was in each community. And there was part two of that agreement, which was, let's sit down and talk about savings that we can make because we're one community if we choose to consolidate things like police or fire or rescue or all sorts of services. And there are some good shared services in the city and county. And then there are other things that they just haven't talked about in the last 10 years, and they may get back to talking about them.
You wrote in the article, libraries we can share, schools we can't, jails we can share, police we can't. Parks? Depends on if it barks and what day of the week it is.
Well, that's the park down by our house. We have a dog park Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday off leash.
Right, yeah. Water and sewer transportation and mental health services are all good enough to share. Where are we now with the talk? What's going on with it? And are they serious about it?
We don't know how serious they are. The candidates for city council said over the weekend that they would be interested in continuing these discussions. There was a forum at JABA, the Democrats' monthly breakfast meeting, and all five candidates said, let's continue these talks and see what we can do to share and consolidate services.
And that's the city candidates, but are they talking this way in the county?
Well, the county candidates were there as well. All three Democrats running for the county board were there. Lindsay Dorier actually made the strongest pitch for let's continue these talks. And then I asked a question of the five Democrats running for city council, and they pretty much concurred.
Interesting. Explain the revenue sharing agreement again, because there's a lot of people who just may have moved to the area and live in the county may not know that they have tax dollars that actually go to city coffers.
The city and county for years were at odds because in areas near the city of Charlottesville, there was always an annexation threat. And the county,
meaning the city, could expand.
The city could go to court and say, we can provide services for this area better than the county. And because the city does tend to provide more services, the city was used to gobbling up little portions and bigger portions of the county every 10 or 20 years in annexations. Well, this put an end to annexation, and the county agreed to share revenue rather than undergo these costly and divisive court threats every so often for county land to become part of the city.
Right.
But part two of that is the part that has never really been carried out, and that was, and let's sit down and talk seriously about consolidating and merging services that we think are a good idea for our community to share.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress is my guest, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you've got a comment or a question. Where do you think this will go? Bob, you've been here since the late 1960s as a UVA student. You've seen this talk before. What do you think is going to happen? What's your gut feeling?
I think they will cherry pick and find a few more services that are worth sharing. The big one, and the one that is hardest to get
the schools
serious about, is the schools.
Yeah.
And there are problems there because there are sort of unfair attitudes that one system is better or worse than the other because of race or other reasons that people can't quantify, or else they look at test scores and they say, well, those schools aren't as good because their test scores, you know, they're not taking into account that a lot of kids in the city school system are coming from poorer families.
Right. 977-1070 is the phone number if you'd like to join the conversation. Don is on line one. Don, you're on with Bob Gibson.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Thank you. Mr. Gibson, I'd like to take you back to Thursday's edition, Daily Progress.
Okay.
And you got the headlines right across the Daily Progress. Republicans promise clean races.
Right.
What's that all about? Are you trying to influence voters, or is this one of your articles?
Well, we had five candidates for county office, two for supervisor and three for county constitutional offices, and they all stood up in front of a crowd at the courthouse and said that they did promise to run clean, issue-oriented.
Well, I was just curious about this, Mr. Gibson. Just want to take what you have from this article, that's all. Thank you very much.
Don, thank you. It's a great question, and that's where I was going next on my little list here, that article.
I think we're in good shape when it comes to the tone of these races as they're setting out. I think all the candidates have come forward on both sides with issue-oriented platforms, and growth is going to be a major topic of discussion in all of the county races that deal with growth as an issue. And I think growth will spill over and become an issue in the city council contest. Now, we aren't sure yet whether there will be much of a contest in November. The city council contest may be largely over on June 2nd.
With the Democratic primary.
When the Democrats nominate three of their five candidates. But Peter Kleeman, an independent, former Democrat candidate, Democrats for Change, I guess, about 7 years ago, ran for city council. He is collecting signatures on petitions and may file to run in the November 6th election as an independent, in which case there would be a campaign and there would be more forums as we continue through the fall.
It's interesting to see how the issue of growth is really shaping up both in the city and the county. I totally agree with you. It really is taking the front burner here in all of the campaigns. It's also interesting to see how, Barry, your word clean, how wonderfully friendly all the elections, the campaigns are thus far.
I think Charlottesville,
which is sort of different. You look in other places in Virginia.
Charlottesville and Albemarle demand a higher standard in that regard than many communities. And candidates take the low road at their own peril.
Yeah. Well put. I was going to say, in other places in Virginia, it's really not like that. You don't always see that. It can be sort of nasty, even at the local level.
And it tends not to be here, and that's a good thing.
We're talking with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress, and you're invited to join this conversation at 977-1070. Let's continue our discussion with Bob Gibson of the Charlottesville Daily Progress. The Progress had an editorial recently. State spat is also serious about the situation going on right now between Virginia Attorney General Bob McDonnell and New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. The Lynchburg News and Advance also had an editorial about this. What is this situation going on? It's sort of becoming a big issue now.
Well, there's a new law in Virginia that takes effect July 1st, and it basically makes it a felony for anyone other than a police investigator to try to make a straw purchase of guns from certain dealers in Virginia. And Mayor Bloomberg has been sending private investigators down to Virginia to make these straw purchases to try to find people who can be sued for illegal gun sales. So Bob McDonnell, who is the attorney general and a Republican, and Mayor Bloomberg, who is the mayor of New York City and a Republican, seem to have a little spat going about this new law in Virginia and how it should or should not affect New York, sending folks down to test the gun dealers in Virginia for sales. McDonnell is basically saying, here's what the new law is, Mr. Mayor. And the mayor is basically saying, well, let's try to figure out some way to enforce this law, Mr. Attorney General. And it's an unusual spat between two Republicans, but I think it's just that. I think it's not going to be we aren't going to see war develop between New York City and Virginia.
You don't think it'll make O'Reilly's talking points or anything on Fox News?
it's a small thing, really.
Yeah. I wonder why this law was even created here in Virginia. I mean, and if I understand you right, an investigative journalist studying the effectiveness of gun laws here in Virginia, if they tried to go undercover a la 60 Minutes or even some of the really good investigative journalist teams, they could be charged with a felony for trying to buy these guns. And
if I were 60 Minutes, I would get a police investigator to make the straw purchase and not break the law.
So not a reporter, but hire somebody, a police officer.
Well, if you can. I mean, I think Mayor Bloomberg has the option of sending police down, but I doubt he's going to test the law.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress. Your column yesterday in the paper dealt with, and before we get with that, let's go to the phones. Eric is on the line. Eric, thanks for the call. You're on with Bob Gibson. Go right ahead.
Coy and Bob. The reason for this law is that Mayor Bloomberg has used these private investigators to engage in highly unethical, if not illegal, forms of entrapment when purchasing guns. And Mayor Bloomberg himself is openly, rabidly anti-Second Amendment. And so people that are in favor of the Second Amendment who aren't interested in having Mayor Bloomberg send minions of private detectives down here to entrap people who are attempting to follow the law, decided to put a law in place to make it more difficult for Mayor Bloomberg to score points with his anti-Second Amendment buddies. And so it's pretty simple. If you check NRA.com, they've got a list of cases where pure and simple entrapment has taken place from some of these private investigators coming down to Virginia.
Eric, I miss you in the public arena. When are you going to make another run for the Virginia Senate?
Yeah, right. Well, when you write me a $100,000 check.
Eric, thank you so much for the call and for clearing that up.
Have a good day.
We appreciate the edification.
Yes, it's good to know the derivation of that law.
Yeah. Well, it's good there's some people like Eric who are paying attention to that. Your column yesterday, the title, Two Stories of Shame and Success. Two very different stories here, Bob.
I was in Washington last Thursday night, and of course all the talk was of Paul Wolfowitz leaving the World Bank. And he negotiated a statement with lawyers at the bank, and basically he and the Bush administration got him to go out the door without admitting anything unseemly had taken place, even though the European nations that wanted to make sure that that he leave had found plenty of evidence in their minds that he had broken ethical rules inside the World Bank regarding a large payment of a large raise to his girlfriend who had been moved out of her World Bank job and over to the State Department where she made more money than the Secretary of State. So there was this contrast about the ethical morass and how no one in Washington admits the truth when there is a problem. They just sort of blame it. Mistakes were made is the mantra. And no one admits making those mistakes. You know, there's a gremlin somewhere in Washington.
Yeah.
They've got to find him.
And then it contrasted with another story in the column.
Well, the other story was wonderful because there was a talk. Fintan O'Toole, who's a marvelous columnist for the Irish Times, spoke at the Irish Embassy on Massachusetts Avenue about the tremendous progress that's been made in Ireland over the last 20, but specifically over the last several years, bringing Ireland into the modern day world as the most vibrant economy with the highest per capita income in Europe.
It is amazing, the success story over there. We have friends from Dublin, and every time we see them, they're like, you would not believe what's going on in Ireland.
And the contrast is that, you know, in Ireland, they decided to start dealing with truth in ways that both sides could accept. They've had a tremendous change in their political system that the Irish and many people around America are welcoming as so refreshing. And the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities has a new book out, Reimagining Ireland, that documents a great deal of this change.
Bob Gibson with the Charlottesville Daily Progress joins us every Monday. Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you.
You've been listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. The show can be heard every Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 o'clock on News Radio 1070 WINA. This is the Charlottesville Podcasting Network at SevillePodcast.com. If you enjoyed the show, why not check out our site for hours and hours of archives of Coy's show? You'll also find other radio programs, arts features, public affairs coverage, and more.